Proverbs chapter 8, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that hath understanding, or to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Here you have, in the context of Proverbs 8, the cry of wisdom. And what a contrast for the language of wisdom from the language of fools. You know, this morning we preached about the language of fools and what fools have to say about things and how they have foolish talk. And here you have the crying out of the voice of wisdom, and wisdom cries out in the streets. Here, wisdom, and of course, wisdom is personified in this text. Ultimately, it is, I believe, personified into the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though wisdom in this text takes on a feminine characteristic in the text, because she cries without, ultimately, wisdom is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But laying that aside for the moment, here you see the cry of wisdom. Nobody, listen, beloved, no fool can say that wisdom has not cried. Wisdom cries in the street. Wisdom cries all about us, even in this creation in which we live. It is to man that wisdom cries out and says, "Oh, fools, listen to what I have to say." Wisdom cries this way. And so you see here the language of wisdom, and I'm not going to preach on that tonight, but you see the language of wisdom and how in contrast it stands to the foolish and the language of fools. Notice that wisdom is to be desired. What wisdom has is what man needs. Wisdom has the greatest thing, is the most valuable thing in heaven or in earth. The most valuable thing in heaven or earth. He goes on to say, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth. The right and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction. Notice how wisdom pleads. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. See, wisdom and knowledge, that, you know, knowledge is what you know, and wisdom is how to use what you know. And it says that these two things are more valuable than anything you could set your heart on. Any house, any land, any money, any jewels, it is more valuable than anything else. But men, of course, they seek after those kind of things as opposed to seeking after wisdom. For wisdom is better than rubies. Why is wisdom better than rubies? Before I get on my subject, just let me dabble here for a moment. Why is wisdom better than rubies? Why is wisdom better than gold? Why is wisdom better than silver? Why is wisdom better than a house or a bank account? Why is wisdom better than that? Because you can have all the gold in the world for a time and not know how to use it. You could own all the ruby mines in the world and not know how to manage them and lose them all. So wisdom is, of course, far more valuable than rubies, far more valuable than gold and silver, because if you had those things in your possession and you couldn't keep them and you didn't know how to use them wisely, well, they would do you no good. And of course, then ultimately it's more valuable, because what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Rubies can't buy you eternal salvation. Gold can't do that. Silver can't do that. But our text teaches us over in the book of John, the Bible says over in John, that this is life eternal, that thou might know. See, there's knowledge. That thou might know, talking about God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Let me read that and I'll come right back to my text, even though, like I said, that's not part of what I want to preach on tonight. But just showing you the value of wisdom. And she cries out, learn of me. Listen to what I have to say. In the book of John, chapter 17, the Scripture says there this. In verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know. See, that's knowledge. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. See, having rubies and gold and silver, which can never buy a man's soul, never can pay for his sin, is really valueless. It's worthless compared to wisdom and knowledge. Knowing God and knowing Christ in the full pardon and forgiveness of sin. Oh, beloved, that is real value. That's lasting value. So here we have the cry of wisdom, and also in our text, in Proverbs 8, we have the hope of fools. You know, the only hope a fool has is for him to listen to wisdom. It's the only hope he has, for him to stop being a fool. And we're going to go over this in just a moment, what it means to be a fool. Now, we talked this morning about foolish talk, and I do believe that God's people can talk like foolish people. They can act like foolish people. Jesus, on instances, I have heard preachers say that God never calls His people fools, but I dare to say that that's just not so. I believe that the two on the road to Emmaus were saved people. As a matter of fact, one of them is named, and that one is named as a disciple. It was Mary and her husband. Mary is not named, but her husband's named in that text. And that's why I believe it's a husband and wife. And I come to that conclusion through those two verses of Scripture that deal with them. And they were looking for Messiah. They were trusting that Jesus was that one. And of course, they were slow in their faith. They had faith. Slow heart to believe. You can read all that later in your time and whatever about those roads. It's on there in the last part of the book of Luke. But anyway, Jesus calls him. He says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said concerning me. And he just goes through the text, and they said, did our hearts burn within us when he opened up us up the Scripture. So God has a right to call whoever he wants to a fool. But anyway, that's just my estimation of that. I believe it's true. But anyway, the hope of fools. Now, here's a person who is a fool, who does not believe in God, the things of God, who lacks understanding, who is full of himself. We're going to look at this tonight. So we have here the hope of fools. The hope of fools is to listen to what wisdom has to say. It says in verse 5 of our text, Proverbs 8:5, O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Of course, we know God's the only one that can give an understanding heart. But here's human responsibility in this text. Be, that's a command. Be of an understanding heart. Wisdom cries, be. Don't be a fool. Be of an understanding heart. And of course, that's the hope of a fool. And that is that they might have an understanding heart. And then we see here that there are those who are fools. Are fooled. And that got me to thinking of what or who or what is a fool. And of course, this morning we looked at a definition. I kind of blotched it up and couldn't quite get it out this morning. I remember that. But anyway, I'll try it better tonight. A fool is one who is deficient in godly reason. That to me is that's the simplest definition of a fool I can give you based upon the Word of God. Someone who is deficient, who lacks godly reason. A fool is one who will not listen to reason, but ever acts on emotion. They will not hear reason. They will not listen to reason. They can be reasoned with and argued with and shown this and shown that, but they just come right back to the emotions of their heart. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe. Their hearts are slow. They're so slowed up by all the emotions and everything going on. And or they're sped up in emotions and they're all caught up in the motion of the situation, as was Job's wife. An example of being caught up in the emotion and say, curse God and die. And he said, you speak like one of the foolish women. So one who will not listen to reason but acts based on emotion. A fool is one who lacks understanding and will not, refuses to receive wisdom and instruction. A fool. And so tonight, the biblical description of fool. First of all, a fool is one who trusts in himself. In his own eyes, he can do no wrong. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. Proverbs 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He determines what's right, and then he says, it is right. And you, of course, when you're dealing with a fool, he says, what I do is right, and why it's right is because I say it's right. Now, he might not be so bold and audacious as to say it that way. He just said, well, I just believe this is right. He has nothing to back that up with. That is, he has no authority. He has no God. And so that's where authority comes in. He has no God to back up what he says. He has no revelation from the deity that gives him life and breath and strength to say this. But he's a fool because he trusts himself. And because he trusted himself, he can do therefore no wrong. This can have many applications. Of course, we know this is the case of lost sinners. And sadly, beloved, there are believers who act like fools in this area. A fool will make decision after decision after decision without godly counsel. That's what a fool will do because, after all, he knows what he's doing. Nobody can tell him what to do. Nobody's going to tell him what to do because he does everything right in his own eyes. That's what the text says. Proverbs 12, verse 15. Again, Proverbs 12 and verse 15, the way, and it's interesting, the Scripture puts it in the singular here. That's the man who says, it's my way or the highway. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You see, the Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And of course, in the context, we're talking about godly counsel. Everything's always prefaced as godly in these cases. So a fool will make decision, as I said, after decision without godly counsel. Because in his own eyes, he can do nothing wrong. Now, they may pretend they want counsel. But what they really want is approval in doing things their own way. That's what a fool will do. And he'll come along and say, you know, I'd like to, your opinion on this. But all of the time, it won't matter what your opinion is. He's going to do it his own way anyway. That's what a fool does. A fool really doesn't care about any counsel he gets. He's going to have it his way, come hell or high water. He's going to have it his way. Because he's a fool. You see, a fool, he can never be wrong. Never wrong. Because the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. In reality, though, he is wrong. He just never sees it. That's what a fool. To hear him talk, he's never made a bad choice. He's never made a bad choice in marriage. He's never made a bad choice in business. He's never made a bad choice in time or money or how he deals with his health or however he lives in his life. He never makes a bad choice because, after all, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. It's always someone else's fault. That's how a fool is. He always plays old Adam's blame game. That woman. I would have never made such a decision. But that woman that thou gavest me, that's what he's saying is your fault, God. That's not my fault. Thou fool, Adam. Oh, and Eve, well, she follows right up after him, you know. Following her husband's lead. There's a serpent. Well, my fault. Of course, you know the story. The serpent didn't have anywhere to look. No. Fact is that a fool is one who trusts in himself. Foolishly, arrogantly, maybe not so boldly as some fools, but fools nevertheless. He trusts in his own heart. Proverbs 28:6. You have these people, the propaganda of the world, which has been baited by Satan. And the lust of the flesh. Satan knows how to deal with men. They had this in the paper, this pedophile in the paper that they got through entrapment. The county got through entrapment. And I believe it was entrapment. But the fact is that he had a horrible lust in his flesh. If what the paper was saying is so about this moon, which you don't know that to be so. But anyway, the thing is that man's heart will always lead him wrong. Because it is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. You can't trust your heart. That's the idea of the world. Just listen to your heart. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Well, my heart tells me, oh, sweet, oh, poor, precious little sweet thing, his heart's not going to lead you right. Not going to lead you right. But anyway, Proverbs 28 and verse 6. I don't listen to my heart. Well, I do sometimes. I ought not to. How's about this? I ought not to listen to my heart. That a little bit better? Don't let your heart be your guide. This word. You don't want a husband? Look to the word. You want to get rid of a husband? Look to the word. Proverbs 28:26. Anyway. He that trusteth in his own heart. That's the seat of emotion. See, remember, I really believe the idea about being a fool is being deficient in godly reason. And that's where a man rides on the horse of his heart and carries him everywhere he goes. So our text says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. The confidence, beloved, that we have as believers is not in ourselves. In talking with Steve, he did tell me on more than one occasion, told me this last time, he said, I wish I had what you have. Sad.
He's trusting his own heart. He's drowning in his misery. He says, I can rest my head on my pillow at night knowing I'm forgiven. And breaking down, he says, I wish I had what you had. Now, what I have is nothing within myself. Nothing that I've worked for, earned. But anyway, the fool trusts in his own heart. Of course, we should trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3. In verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Our reason and our emotions are to be absorbed in a knowledge and a love of God. That's the way to wisdom. But trying to figure it out ourselves and doing it all in our own power and not listening to godly counsel and not taking to heed God's word, we will find ourselves playing the fool like Saul did. Saul had godly counsel. There's Samuel right there. You want to know what to do? Talk to Samuel about it. Oh, I can't wait till Samuel gets here. I got to sacrifice these animals right now. Hey, that's not your job. But my heart tells me I need to do this. Still, stop listening to your heart, Saul, and listen to godly counsel. But he plays the fool. He rushes in as fast as he can to do what he wants, to do. He trusts himself. In all thy ways, there is not a decision. Listen, I don't care what decision it is, and I know we all fail in this area. But it doesn't matter what decision you're making or have to make or have to look to make. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy path. We get in a lot of trouble by rushing it into it on ourselves. And what that teaches us is that we are trusting in ourselves. A fool is one who trusts in himself. Secondly, a fool is one who despises an instruction. Now, when one is confronted of being a fool, and wisdom cries, listen to me, fools. We're not going to listen to that. Wisdom cry to us. If we listen to wisdom, they got this much reason about them. If we listen to wisdom, well, things will have to change in our life. I'm not going to listen to wisdom. I'd just soon be a fool. And so they get angry when wisdom cries and gives them instruction. That's what a fool does. Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise it. They don't want to have anything to do with it. It might put a damper on their life. It might slow down their activity. It might change their course. They might have to be under some kind of restraint. God forbid that they're put under some kind of restraint. When a man's killing himself, you'd think that he'd want a restraint. But he's not, because he's a fool. Because of that, the fools who despise instruction, they die for a lack of wisdom. Proverbs 10:21. The lips of the righteous feed many.
fools die for want of wisdom. They lack wisdom, which is what they need to sustain them. Wisdom, beloved, is the chief thing, principal thing. It's a thing that will lead them to life eternal. But they despise it, and they die for lack of it. And then thirdly, a fool is one who cannot be disciplined. Fools are destined for much punishment. Much punishment. Many of them get it in this life. And some of them are in the midst of it and they don't even know it. That's how sad it is with a fool. In the book of Proverbs 19, my daughter, you know, foolishness is found in the heart of a child. I read that this morning anyway. My daughter scraped her knees up really bad. I mean really bad on the concrete. And I said, honey, I told you don't run on concrete. It doesn't give. The grass will give. The sand will give. The concrete, it will not give. Now, is that reason? Now, is that reasonable? Sure, it's reasonable. But she likes running too much. And running's okay in its place. It's not okay down the middle of I-75. It's not okay down the yellow line of Turner Camp Road. And it's not okay on the sidewalk because it will scratch your knees up if you fall. And of course, we do the same thing. We run into something as fast as we can. I mean, just to do what we want because I want to do it. I'm having fun doing it. Well, you're destined for punishment. Proverbs 19 and 29, the Bible says there, judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. Proverbs 26 and verse 3, the Bible says there, the whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Teaching us this principle that a fool is one who cannot be disciplined, and therefore they are destined for more punishment. They are what we call people who are glutton for punishment. They can't have enough punishment. They don't see the misery they're in. And that's why we'd say they're a fool. Only a fool would not see the misery that they're in. They cannot be disciplined. Every attempt to correct them just makes them bitter at the messenger. Or walks away and they say, you don't know what he's talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I got it all under control. That's the fool. My little daughter running. Anyway, I go back to that story. She is running on the sidewalk and she got all scraped up. I mean just really scraped up. And there we are out at the park today. As we got finished preaching, there's an embankment, it's a runoff. And guess what it's made out of? Concrete. And she's running in her slippery church shoes. She don't even have her tennis shoes on. And she's running up that concrete and running down that concrete. I said, don't do that. Don't you do that. But it's fun, Daddy. Fools despise instruction. And they will not be corrected. Well, she was corrected, I'm thankful. She stopped. But she'd go back to it. Put her at the bottom of that thing. She'd run right up it again because she likes to do it. Without fear of the consequences. See, that's what a fool lives his life that way. He just puts them out of his mind. Fourthly, a fool, these are biblical descriptions of a fool. A fool is one who is impulsive. Proverbs 29 and verse 11.
A fool uttereth all his mind. Well, he don't have much, so he all just gets rid of whatever he got, you know. But a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. And the idea, beloved, is that the fool, he just lets it all hang out. You know, people glory in that. I told him all. I just let it all hang out. Let him have it all. A fool does that. A fool, beloved, vents all his feelings. He just does it all. He gets it all out in the open. He rushes as fast as he can to do what he's going to do. He holds nothing back. That's a fool. Therefore, Proverbs 12 and verse 16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. You see, a fool is like a man who he's the man who doesn't control his spirit. The Bible said a man who doesn't control his spirit is like a city with the walls are broken down on it. All the enemy can get in. Listen, beloved, if you don't control your spirit, if you don't have possession over your spirit, the devil's going to come in. He's going to ravish that city called your heart and your life. You've got to set up guard against your heart. But a fool, oh, his wrath is present long. Everybody knows his mind right now. You know, a fool, you can figure him out. Because you know what he's going to do. He's going to do what he wants to do. You start watching, observing people that are fools. They do the same thing over and over and over and over again, just on repetition. Hurting themselves over and over again, and they don't stop. And then you start wondering, well, why don't they stop? And say, well, they got counselor, but hey, listen to that. Just keep right on. This is the idea. They're just impulsive, and they just do it. It hurts them. It hurts their families. It hurts the people around them. But they just do it and 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 do it because, after all, there are no consequences. It's a fool. Of course, in this, his folly makes things worse. Proverbs 14:29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Listen, beloved, every one of us, we live in a fast-paced world. We all need to slow down. God says, and that's pretty good talk when God says, thus saith the Lord, be ye still and know that I am God. Wait for the salvation of the Lord. The fool says, I can't wait. Can't be still. I've got to do it. He's impulsive. And his impulsiveness makes things worse. Proverbs 14:29. He that is slow to wrath. Time to get angry sometimes. And time to do certain things. There's time not to do them. And being impulsive is never a time to do things. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit, his life is overwhelmed with, I have to do it, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to go here, I got to there, I got to that. That is, beloved, the impulsive fool. The fool. Well, there's surely more that could be said about fools and their description in the Bible. The question for us tonight is, Where am I? Now the lost, it is given that they are fools. That's a given. Because the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The fool answers the matter before he ever hears the evidence. That's what a fool does. But for us who are saved, are we like Job's wife? Do we speak as one of the foolish women? Are we like Saul, who played the fool? I want to close with this verse in Proverbs 3:35. I want you to examine yourself tonight. You know, the house of God is a place of judgment. Judgment must begin at the house of God. Judgment doesn't begin to the sinners outside those doors. Judgment begins among the sinners in here. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. And as we examine ourselves tonight in this light, Proverbs 3:35, the wise shall inherit glory. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Wouldn't you want to be wise? Wouldn't you want to grow in wisdom and the knowledge of our blessed Lord, to be more like Him? Our Lord wasn't impulsive. He turned over money changers one time, but that wasn't His whole course in life. I mean, He didn't go to the temple every day and turn over money changers. He didn't knock people down in the streets that were sinning against His Father and Him. He didn't do that. He didn't trust in Himself. Oh no. He didn't despise instruction, did He? See, we need to learn to be more like Jesus. We need to slow down and wait upon God. All right. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame, oh, the shame of wasted life, oh, the shame of being a fool. Saul, who played the fool, died in shame. Sword, his own sword. In the battlefield against the Philistines, going off to be a victor, charting his own course, he dies, having played the fool by his own sword. He falls upon his sword and dies. But shame shall be the promotion of fools. Oh, the fools get promoted. They get promoted from one folly to another. And their end. The grand headlines in the death of a fool is shame and disgrace. May God help us to flee from the foolishness of folly and walk after the path of wisdom. Proverbs. Oh, you want to know how to walk as a believer? Proverbs will tell you how to walk. It's a very convicting book. Very convicting. It shows just how foolishly we do talk and walk at times. May God help us all to listen to the voice of wisdom and put a deaf ear to folly. May we not be found a fool, nor playing the fool, nor speaking as the foolish. May the Lord bless you.